action that is truly our intention. We are really grateful, and we recognize your value and the time you're giving us during this call. I appreciate it, and I really, really thank you for your trust in our intentions. Why we do teleseminars? Well, it's really to bring you closer to perspective, tools, and resources. Pure Momentum is that. We are one of you. We basically one day came home, said, how are we going to implement? Well, we decided to take action and start a community that shares those resources and the people that can take us closer to them. I'd just like to go over some quick game rules. We had to mute the call so that we would have clarity through the call. But if you want to go on to the puremomentum.com website, at the top of the page, there's a teleseminar link on your upper right-hand corner. And from there, you can link into the webcast where you can submit your questions, and I will be asking your questions to Greg as we go on through the call. And so now I'd like to introduce Greg. Greg is somebody that I met recently at an event. He came into my life at the right time, as I believe the law of attraction kicking in. Greg validated my core values. He gave meaning to my journey. I often question if I'm on the right path because life sometimes could send some, or the universe can send some tough challenges, and it tests us frequently. And Greg helped me understand through his work that what I'm doing is on the right track. He just gave meaning, and he helped me condense it to a couple of words, which I'm sure he will address today. And also because, you know, as our mission is to live on purpose, he just brought that light to me. He helped me understand that if I don't live my life with that intensity, with that purpose, then there is no point in living, and it's so true. He helped me identify my core virtues, my heart virtues. And I thank you, Greg, for doing that, and I really want to welcome you to the community. And I see you as my mentor. I see you as somebody that has so much value and has a tremendous message and gift to the world. So welcome, Greg, on the call.
Thank you, Claudia, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do mentoring. I have lots of mentors myself. I encourage everyone to have them. And I think every one of us is the master of our craft. It's just identifying what that craft is and realizing that you already have a lot of credentials that you don't know. And that's a lot about what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, thank you.
So we have a little outline that we emailed to everybody. And I'm going to jump around because I like to follow energy. I think it's important to be authentic and organic and let things kind of go where they're going to go. But I do want to start with the most powerful tool that we're going to cover today. And it's the first line, which is a simple tool to remember and apply the 7 steps outlined in The Science of Getting Rich. And those steps weren't formally outlined. It didn't say this is step 1, 2, 3, and 4. For those of you that know, The Secret is based on the book, The Science of Getting Rich, and by Wallace Wattles. Wait a minute. We're talking about The Science of Getting Rich by Napoleon Hill. And Wallace Wattles both based their book on the same material. Think and Grow Rich was Napoleon Hill's, and The Science of Getting Rich was Wallace Wattles. So the book that The Secret was based on was written in about 1904, I believe, by Wallace Wattles. And he basically outlined this way. And the way is captured in an acronym, act as if, and then it's real. And we've heard that, if you act as if it's real. But I'm going to give you the actual letters that this refers to. And if you read the book, you're going to see this sort of emerging. You also probably saw, some of you may have seen on Oprah, they had the guys from The Secret. And it was really kind of funny because first they had Rhonda Byrne, she shows up, and Oprah asks her, so what's the book really all about? And she's like, well, she tells her a little bit, and Oprah says, so it's about thinking, and just your thoughts are going to create the reality, right? And then she says, yes, that's right. And then they invite Jack Canfield on. And Jack says, well, it's not just thinking, it's thinking plus your actions. And then they invite James Ray on. And James Ray says, it's 3 for 3. It's thinking followed by the feelings you have, followed by the actions. And when you really put those three together, it works. And the fact is they left out the fourth and most important one. And so let me tell you a little bit about my background and what this fourth one is. The fourth ingredient is speaking. It's the words that we speak. My background is in quantum physics. I actually studied energy and field theory, thermodynamics, and I studied how a human being puts out a field that has an impact on the environment around them. You probably have heard of the observer effect and how a human being can affect all kinds of outcomes and experiments and attract to them. They actually develop a magnetism depending on the field that they put out. Well, the most powerful way we put this field out is with our words. Along with being in quantum physics for a number of years and studying it and seeing how it could be applied in personal development, I did my own, you know, path of success where I worked with Intel and I wrote artificial intelligence software for a while, and I was incredibly miserable and lonely at the peak of my success. I was supposed to be feeling all this joy and fulfillment, but what I found was that I was a servant to a lot of the things that were supposed to make me happy. I'm a pilot, and I was about to buy a plane, and I realized that if I buy a plane, I am going to be spending so much of my time and resources keeping that thing running that I just blew out of the system. And I ended up in a monastery a few weeks later, gave my company to the employees, and for the next 8 years, I spent 5 to 6 hours meditating every day and really introspecting, finding out what was most meaningful to me. And I'd like to share with you one of the little breakthroughs that I had when I was doing some research. I made it a personal project to study the lives of people that were heroes when I was a monk. Sort of on the side, I would study the lives of people like Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln and Gandhi and Mother Teresa. And what I noticed about these people was they all basically went through a very simple three-step process for being incredibly empowered. The first step was they knew exactly who they were and where they stood. They had absolute clarity about what was most meaningful to them. And this is the most important thing I'm going to focus on today, is knowing who you are and where you stand. Because when I talk about these seven steps for getting rich, they mean nobody on this phone call is going to apply them if you don't have a reason, a personal reason, that's related to what's meaningful to you. So knowing what's meaningful to you and having clarity and confidence about where you stand are the prerequisites for almost everything we're going to talk about today. And what Claudia was referring to, her heart virtue, is that thing that she now knows is what's most meaningful to her that she's willing to live and die for. So studying the lives of these people that were heroes when I was a monk, the first thing they did was they knew who they were and where they stood. The second thing was they communicated powerfully and beautifully who they were and where they stood. And the third was they made an enormous contribution to humanity. And so I developed three programs for putting people through those three steps. And the third program, which is making a huge contribution to humanity once you know who you are and where you stand, is what this acronym, ACT AS IF, and that it's real, is what it really means. So the most powerful of these four, thoughts, feelings, words, and actions, is the word because. If you look at people like Bill Gates and Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln and Gandhi, they would open their mouth and say something, and literally the world around them would start rearranging itself. You know, Bill Gates can point at a lot and say, I'd like to have a building there that's 10 stories, turn around, walk away, and within a year it's going to be built. And that's really all he has to say at this point, because he's made such a huge contribution to humanity that he now has that power behind him. Gandhi, I mean, try to wrap your mind around what he did. And he used the same principles. He did use his actions and his thoughts and his feelings and lined them up all in the direction of what was most meaningful to him. And he refused to violate what was most meaningful to him. And in his case, it was peaceful liberation. Gandhi refused to step on ants because he knew that if he violated his own commitment to peaceful liberation and brought harm to any creature, that the forces that were supporting him in his campaign for the freedom of India wouldn't support him as powerfully if he lost that personal magnetism by violating his personal convictions. So the acronym that these guys all used in their lives, the philosophy, the theory, the program that they applied to become so powerful was to act as if and that it was real. And let me tell you what A stands for. A is for a new thought. A new thought. Imagine right now, what if your life wasn't what you thought it was going to be? What if it was something extraordinary? What if you found a genie bottle on the beach and you could have anything you want? What would your new thought be about who you would be? So it starts with a new thought. Then, and this is something that was focused on a lot in the book, The Science of Getting Rich, creativity versus competition. So A is a new thought, C, creativity, not competition. What that means is a lot of times we take a look outside in the world and we think to ourselves, okay, there's only so much out there, and how do I get my piece of the pie? About 3 months ago, I actually had a private lunch with Michael Beckwith, and I was sitting at lunch with him, with the president of actually Chris Howard's company at the time, and I asked Michael, I said, what do you most want for the world? And that's my favorite question to ask these people. What is it you most want for the world? Michael said, I want people to realize that there is no lack, that there is unlimited abundance, and that if people will just come to the world as if it is abundantly going to support them in their greatest endeavors, that the universe will provide. And so that's his mission, and that's the creativity paradigm. I don't have to take this away from anyone. I can create whatever I want with my own creative endeavors. The third, which is T, is turn up your feelings. Once you have that new thought and you've committed yourself to pursue that thought with a creativity paradigm instead of a competition paradigm, turn up your feelings. What would it feel like to have that new thought actually manifest? So say your new thought is that children are everywhere on the planet. There's not going to be a single hungry child anywhere on the planet. And then you turn your creativity up and you say, what if we produce food out of nothing? What if we think about a way, you know, there's dirt and there's water. What if we could just produce food everywhere? And then turn up your feelings. How would it feel if you were the person that ended world hunger for children all over the planet? A, the next A, act as if, so we're at A now, the second A, appreciation for what you already have. And this is the one that James Ray brought to the equation on Oprah. He kept focusing on this. He says, you know, most people are living from a paradigm of lack. We think, I'd like to have $1 million. One of the things I studied as a monk was prayer, an effective prayer. And there's two kinds of prayers. One is a prayer that sounds something like this. Lord, please bring me the wealth that I need, and I'm having trouble paying my bills, and I don't know how I'm going to get through the week, but I know you can do this for me, so please see if you can send me enough money to pay my bills. And that's a prayer that's prayed from a place of poverty toward a place of prosperity. What James Ray is talking about when he says appreciate what you have would sound like a prayer that would sound something like this. Lord, I thank you that I've been able to create at will whatever I want, whenever I, wherever I am, and wherever I am, and however I am, that I can actually put my mind to things, and it always works out brilliantly, that I today have all the resources that I've ever needed, and that along my path I've always had them, and I thank you for that, and that I can create at will whatever I want, and I thank you for the prosperity that I'm about to produce. And so that prayer is being prayed from a position of from prosperity instead of a position to prosperity. I believe that all prayers are answered instantly. So if your prayer is, I lack funds, the answer to your prayer is a lack of funds. If you pray from, you know what, regardless of what the bank, I live in prosperity. I mean, if you have a refrigerator, a car, and a place to live, you are among the top 0.1% of the wealthiest people on the planet. So appreciating the amazing results that you've produced so far in your life is the next step, and you add that to your field. S, act as if, we're now on the S in the as, is speak those words into powerful thought vibrations. So you take that thought and you speak it so that it actually goes out into the world. You know, I've worked with a lot of celebrities. And the difference between a celebrity that's actually an A-list celebrity and one that's actually working, still working as a waitress in the local Burger King, you know, or the local restaurant, the difference is that they have the same amount of skill. But the one that's got the Academy Award, the one that's got the part she wants, is the one that actually went out and asked for them. And I've seen this time and again in working with these people, having clients that are Academy and Emmy and Grammy Award winners, and being able to interview them and be their mentors and coach. Because what happens to them is they get off in that world where they know how to produce great results, but they don't necessarily know how to have fantastic experiences. And this formula that Wallace Wattles outlines is a way to have fantastic experiences in life. Create a new thought, then use creativity instead of competition. Turn up your feelings. How would it feel to actually manifest that new thought? Appreciate all that you have. Speak it into words. And then the next step, which is the I, is I have faith. It's holding to that thought relentlessly so that when the universe tests you and says, you know what, I don't think I'm going to give this to you, you say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not giving up. And eventually, you're just going to have to give it to me. And so you keep going after it with faith. And no matter what shows up, you keep pushing forward. You know, over, under, around, or through, but you don't stop. And the last is future actions. F stands for future actions. So if you act as if, a new thought, creativity, turn up your feelings, appreciation for what you have, speak powerful words, I have faith, and then future actions, it will become real. And that's what act as if, it's real, stands for. And this is, if Claudia actually experienced the Heart Virtues, which is the first wave of the work that I do, knowing who you are and where you stand is the Heart Virtues system. And it's a rather elaborate system where we have to do an extensive interview of the goosebumps and rage moments of your life. The moments that were so beautiful and meaningful, they literally gave you goosebumps. We do an inventory of those, and we identify them. And then we also do an inventory of the moments that caused you to become frustrated, intolerant, and enraged. Because you wouldn't bother being angry during those times unless you were committed to something beautiful that was being blocked or violated. So think about it. Every time you're angry or frustrated, it's because you're committed to something that's either being blocked or violated. Something beautiful. It's being blocked or violated. So we take an inventory of these goosebumps and rage moments to find out what are the molecular commitments that are giving you this visceral experience in your body. And that really is the key, because until you have that, acting as if it's real feels like an imposter. You can adopt the behaviors of somebody like a Martin Luther King, but if you're not committed to brotherhood on the same level that he was, you won't experience those same deep and powerful experiences and results that he was able to create, because the universe was literally behind him because he was so authentic in what he moved forward and accomplished. And this is the quantum physics principles that I studied in college and thereafter, where we talk about this observer effect, that the observer has a huge effect on the experiment that they're conducting. The single most, the sentence that encapsulates what quantum physics is about, more than anything for me personally, is one that kind of came to me in a meditation one day. And it is very simply, we are not 6 billion people living in one world. We are one people living in 6 billion unique worlds. So every human being has something meaningful to them that's dictating their values, beliefs, and behaviors from the inside out. But most of us are trained not to live from the inside out, but to live from the outside in. We're trained to do this because we went to school, and in school they want us to fit in and go along to get along, because school was started by corporations, factories way back in the 18th, 17th century. And so their objective was not to empower people. Their objective was to make sure that people went out and got a job working for the factories. And schools were started by these factories because women were coming to the factories, and the children were getting, they were bringing their kids with them, because just to pay the bills, they had to work in the factory, and they didn't have any place to put the kids. So the kids would end up getting caught in the machinery. So the factory owners were losing all their employees because the women said, we're not going to bring our kids here if they're in danger. So they took all the kids and set them aside in a classroom and trained them to work in the factory. And all of a sudden, they started putting the kids to work in the factory. And then it was decided that you can't do that, and the child labor laws came up, and now we got to keep kids busy for 16 years of their life before we put them to work. Well, what are we going to teach them to do? We teach them to work in factories. In fact, if you think about it, almost every public school in the system is funded by corporations or by the government, which is funded by corporations. So we're not trained to live from the outside in by what's most meaningful to us. In school, you take classes like reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we don't generally take classes on how to have fantastic relationships, how to create meaningful, fulfilling experiences at will, or, you know, how to make a lot of money. And so these are skills that we typically will learn from mentors. And so outlining what we've talked about so far, the technique that was used by heroes throughout history to make a huge contribution to humanity and receive rich rewards is a three-step program: knowing who you are and where you stand, communicating powerfully and beautifully, and making an enormous contribution to humanity. The simple tool that was outlined in The Science of Getting Rich is act as if, and then it's real. A stands for a new thought. C stands for creativity. T stands for turn up your feelings. A is appreciation. Speak into powerful words. Have faith and take future action in the direction of your thought. And then the quantum physics approach that works is from the inside out instead of the outside in. And so this inside out paradigm is the thing that I spend almost all my time working with clients on. You know, we sit here and we think that the things outside of us, when we finally get the world outside of us arranged the way we want it, that we're finally going to be happy. And that's the outside-in paradigm. But the inside-out paradigm says that I live in a world that's being created from inside me. That what's most meaningful is being projected onto all the experiences. And it's obvious. If you saw two people fighting in a park, one person would look at them and say, that's just wrong. I got to go over and say something. And so in their world, that experience that those two people are having is completely unacceptable. But a person standing right next to them might say something like, you know, it's fine. If they want to fight, that's just fine. And so in their world, it's not a big deal. So notice that we're all living in our world. And so people talk about having a project that's going to go out and you know, save women, you know, that are homeless on the street, or we're going to go out and we're finally going to get people to respect their environment and stop using plastic bags. And we think that when those people out there are living in a way that fulfills our values, that we're finally going to be happy. But I have no experience of that. I find that trying to get other people to do stuff has just caused me a lot of pain and aggravation. But when I'm living in alignment with what's most meaningful to me, and I end up having teleclasses about what's most meaningful to me, which is about people living a virtuous life in alignment with their values, being authentic, being independent. Now, I want you to notice, this isn't for everybody. The work that I do is for people that want to be entrepreneurial, independent people that want to go out there and be so fulfilled in their life that no matter what anybody says, they can stand in their confidence, acknowledge their boundaries, be able to listen to the other person, but still ask for exactly what they want without feeling obliged to live in the other person's paradigm.
And you know, Greg, that's one of the things I think I do and many of us go through is living in that integrity and being outside of everybody's own paradigm. Being authentic is tough because, you know, you're speaking from your heart, you're working really hard to provide them with value or with what you really want, what your offer is, and then you're often challenged because your value isn't always for everybody, so it's narrowing it down to those that will accept you or will recognize that what you bring is good, and that in itself is a journey, is a discipline of staying true to your core. Could you give us some advice there? Because It's the universe tests you, and it's hard.
Yeah, and this is where the field theory comes in. You know, in a sense, if you think about it, most people think of your life. Most people think of their life as a line. It's like we say life is a journey, not a destination. And that's a very linear model. I don't believe life is a journey or a destination. I believe that life is a sphere. And we're living at the center of that sphere of our life. And if we're speaking what's most meaningful to us in every conversation, and we're relentless about being authentic, and it doesn't mean you hammer people, it just means that you speak your truth and you're authentic, your sphere starts to grow, your sphere of influence. If that sphere is 5 feet out in front of you, then anyone that walks within that 5-foot sphere is going to experience what's most meaningful to you. But if you just keep all those words to yourself and you don't speak them and you don't tell people what's meaningful to you, your sphere collapses and it becomes about the size of a basketball that surrounds your heart. And what happens is in that world, in that tiny sphere, which we keep to ourselves, someone comes up to us who has a very strong field that they're projecting out that's 5 or 10 feet large, and they say, here's what's most meaningful to me. And what we do is we get frustrated because we feel controlled by them. When the truth is, they're just speaking what their truth is, and we feel threatened by it because our sphere is so small that we're living like outside of our sphere, and we become susceptible to the influence of others. So you say it's hard, Claudia, but it's kind of like, imagine this analogy. You have a boat that's on the sand, and you're pulling that boat down the beach and into the water. And that's the experience of growing your sphere and giving the universe a convincing argument, excuse me, but this is what's meaningful to me, and this is how I'm going to live. And I'm going to create a project that allows me to fulfill what's most meaningful and build my sphere with that project and surround myself with mentors and relationships with like-minded people that have the same type of energy and goal I have in the same direction that I have it in. Whether it's for saving animals, empowering women, going green and cleaning up the environment, or getting a good politician in office, whatever your project is, if you speak it into your world in every conversation you have, you start to build that sphere. And the universe starts to look at you and say, hey, we got a live one over here. And it starts to test you, right? It puts up little walls. And that testing of our conviction that our sphere is going to be filled with what's most meaningful to us actually strengthens the muscles that build that sphere, that throw that field out. So think about it. Martin Luther King stood up in front of hundreds of thousands of people, and he threw a sphere out in front of them. He said, I have a dream. I have a dream that men will sit together at the table as brothers, that a man will not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. And literally, the people there were transfixed, like, oh my God, that's the way it could be. So he had a vision that he threw out into the world, and 100,000 people were standing inside his sphere. And literally the world that everyone on this phone, that on this call is living in, is different because Martin Luther King had that huge sphere of influence. Gandhi did the same thing. And if Claudia chooses to say, this is what's meaningful to me and this is what I most want in the world that I live in, then you put out a very convincing argument to that sphere. I'll give you an example. I was in the supermarket a few months ago, and there was a woman who was yelling at her child and berating him. He was like a 4-year-old, and he was holding a box of cereal close to him, and you could see his eyes were like bulging out of his head. He was terrified because his mother was telling him, you know, why did you go get that, and don't you ever do that again. And I stood in line, looked at the woman in front of me, and she turned away. And I thought to do the same thing, and I said, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let my sphere collapse so that I can't even live inside of it. And so I got out of line, and I walked over to the woman, and I said, excuse me, miss, my request is that you treat that child with respect. And she looked at me, and she said, this is none of your business. And I said, actually, if you do this in your living room, it's none of my business. But sitting here in the supermarket when I've got to stand over there and watch this child fold in because he's so afraid, it is my business. It's in my realm, and I'm just asking you to treat the child with respect. And she was in shock. She grabbed her child by the hand and ran out the door and left her groceries there. And I went to get back at the back of the line, and this guy said, well, you're up there. Go ahead up there. And I ended up right back where I was in line. And how do you suppose I felt about myself?
Heroic.
Yeah, and here's what I've learned about me. If I don't say that, I get in my car and I think to myself, that woman, she shouldn't be treating her child that way. And I'm not frustrated because the woman was treating her child that way. I'm frustrated because I didn't get out of line and say something. And I proved it to myself because when I did say something, I got in my car and I looked myself in the mirror and I said, man, I'm glad I can trust you. I'm glad I can trust you to speak your truth. I'm glad that wherever I go, you, Greg, are willing to say something and take a risk so that people will treat their kids with respect, so that people will be in integrity, so they'll be honest and authentic with themselves. And that's the guy I get to live with all day.
It's courageous.
And so, well, you say it's courageous, but I'll be honest with you, and you say it's hard. But, Claudia, it's only hard until you make it more of a habit than self-sabotage, than holding your truth.
Absolutely.
It's only hard until the sphere gets big enough that you get to enjoy the fact that it's so full that when you step into the room, people that are out of integrity or out of alignment leave the room. That's when it gets really easy. Because you've got a reputation, right? You got a reputation for being the guy or the woman that you walk over and you stand next to me. And this is one of the things, you know, I'll show you how this leads directly to the field that I'm in, which is a field called coaching. I have clients and I work with them to have an extraordinary life. And I used to go to these workshops and seminars, networking meetings from time to time, and I would inherently pick up a lot of clients. I would pick up two or three clients in almost every meeting. So I stopped going to the seminars because my referrals were filling my calendar. And just before I stopped going to the meetings, one of the coaches walked up to me and said, you know, Greg, I've been coming to these networking meetings for months, and I've noticed that after every meeting, you have two or three people that you end up with as clients. And I get like one every four or five meetings. So tell me, what are you doing? And I said, well, tell me what you say to people when they walk up and say, what do you do? And he said, well, I tell them that I'm a coach. And I tell him, you know, here's what I specialize in, and here are my little, you know, I give them this features and benefits. And I said, you know, when people walk up and ask me, what do you do for a living? What I say to them is, if you had an extraordinary life and you loved your life, what would that look like?
Mm.
And then I say, and what would you do for the world if you were truly living in your power? What would you do and who would you touch?
Mm.
And I said, see, the difference between you and me is you walk up and tell people about your coaching. People walk up to me, and they say hi, and they get coached. I'm being a coach.
Yes.
You're waiting to be a coach until somebody writes you a check. And so my universe is one in which I am constantly empowering people everywhere I go. And it doesn't matter whether they paid me for it or not. If you stand next to me, I'm going to be asking you questions. I'm going to walk up and look you square in the eyes and say, you know, I believe in you, and you can make a difference. And that's not because I want the world to be coached. It's because I want to experience myself truly giving people the love that I believe in, that I want to be with me being that guy instead of me talking about that I could be that guy. And I'm willing to be that guy when somebody pays me money or something. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You have me in tears because it's the intensity of what we stand for and when we are really true and when we really love what we do, we are it. We live it. We act it. We whatever it is, but when you are really true, Greg, and I thank you with all my heart after I saw you a couple of weeks ago, I love my life. and it's freaking scary when you have to stand up and do what you love because you don't know if it's going to be liked or not. But when you know you touch a couple people, then you know you're on the right path.
Right, and that's still a little bit of the outside-in paradigm. What I've learned to do is not judge myself by how well I'm received, although it's very important that I pay attention to feedback.
Yeah.
But here's what I've learned. If I go out and authentically speak what's most meaningful to me, and I got to be honest with you, Claudia, I screw up all the time. I stumble and bumble through it. Sometimes I'll walk up and say something to somebody, and they'll look at me like, who the hell are you, and what makes you think that I want... But here's the deal. Every time I flop, I learn.
Yeah.
I learn, okay, I could have said that this way. I could have said it a little bit that way. I could have been a little different. I could have made it a little smoother. Or I could have asked first. And I learned to turn my statements, which is I used to make these bold, you know, declamatory statements, and now I've turned those into questions. So I don't walk up to somebody and say, you know, I see your potential and I believe in you. I walk up to them and I say, you know, what is it you most want for the world? And what was it that drove you here tonight? What was it you were, you know, if this was an extraordinary meeting for you, what would you hope to walk away with? And so I've learned to match that bold desire and that courageous desire with a humility that I can, that I don't even understand this person, but I know that they're committed to something beautiful. Let me explore that with them with the same curiosity that Einstein had. You know, that it's like literally the universe revealed to him a formula for how to turn matter into energy because the guy was so relentlessly and beautifully curious. And we're the same way. How does it feel when somebody tells you what to do?
Helpful.
Yeah. And how does it feel when somebody's deeply interested in you without an ulterior motive?
Well, like you made me feel. You believed in me. You cared.
Right. And the thing you were referring to, that you know, affirmation, I love my life. That, by the way, is my trademark affirmation. I have it printed on.
I saw that.
Yeah, the promotional pens and you know, and everything, because I think it starts there. I think it starts, you know, if in the morning you can say to yourself, I love my life. And if you can just wake up and push the energy out and experience that, that's where we start to move the energy so that we can use this formula of act as if, and then it's real. Because it's great to have the formula, but if you don't have a reason, a very personal reason, then it doesn't do much good.
No, it doesn't.
So I just want to touch on a little something real quick. It's a triangle that Claudia has experienced, and it's basically how you discover what is that thing that's most meaningful to me. Because a lot of people feel like, you know, I'd love to go out and help people that are drug addicts or, you know, women that have been abused or something like that, but I don't have the credentials. So I just want to point something out. If you had been told that you had cancer, and I told you, I've got two people that I want to introduce you to that could really make a difference in your life when it comes to this cancer and healing yourself. The first person is a doctor that has 30 years experience with your particular cancer. He's an oncologist. He will tell you what that cancer will do to your body. He'll tell you the treatments that you could make and what your chances are for surviving it. Or the other person I'll let you talk to is someone that has had the exact same cancer you have, has had it worse than you have it, and today there is no trace of that cancer in their body, and they'll share their story with you. Who would you rather talk to?
Person number two.
Right. And here's what I know. Every human being on this phone call has been through a pain that, that even though I have tremendous skills in empowering people, if you were raped and I were to sit you down with a woman who's trying to heal herself from all that shame and self-esteem loss that comes from being raped, you would have more potential to heal her than I would. Because she can relate to you on a level that I can't relate to her because I was never raped in my life. And so every one of you on the phone call has a pain that was given to you as a gift by the laws of evolution and the forces of nature so that you would have compassion and empathy and be able to heal the people that are going to go through that pain in their lives. And so your credential is what from college. See, I have this credential called quantum physics. I have a bachelor's degree because I'm good with math and I understand how energy works. But my pain is that I didn't know who I was and where I stood. And I didn't know how to create beautiful experiences everywhere I went. And I was constantly looking for something from the outside in. My pain was, what is my career that I can do, that I can so love what I do, that I can do it all the time everywhere I go? And so that pain that I had turned into a career working with people to find their careers and identify what was most meaningful to them and bring it to the world. And what I realized was that my pain of having gone through that experience of not knowing who I was has served me so well, because when someone's sitting in front of me in tears saying there's got to be more to life than this, I can say, listen to me. I will work with you. We'll do 2-hour sessions. We'll do a workshop. I've got a workshop coming up in February, 15th, 16th, and 17th, a two-day workshop. And on the Friday night before, we're going to identify what's most meaningful to you. And on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to show you how to put it to work in your relationships, where you acknowledge your boundaries, where you learn to really listen to people without taking anything personally, and where you make powerful requests. And I can look them square in the eyes because I've been through that pain. And what's really meaningful to me is to see that they then go out and take their pain and turn it into a powerful career and a project, whether they're a coach or a professional speaker, or whether they're going to start a business that just empowers women or protects animals or whatever it is. And it just propagates out from there.
And I can tell you and everyone on the call that it works. My heart virtues are hope and empowerment. My biggest pain was being hopeless. And overcoming that and now going back on the path of empowerment because I can do it. I have it within me. And when you help me put those words into, you know, two simple words, what do I stand for? And frankly, Greg, without those, I would die. I really would.
And here's the beautiful thing, though, Claudia. If they're willing to die for, then they're willing to live for.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's when life becomes so beautiful. My heart virtue, by the way, is spiritual integrity.
Yeah.
I love seeing people in alignment with their spiritual purpose for coming to this earth and speaking, feeling, and acting in alignment with that spiritual purpose. Is there anyone else on the line that has a heart virtue? I don't know if we could open the line with Claudia just briefly for any of the folks that may have their heart virtue to share.
Okay. Fabrice is going to be opening the lines, and give him 1 second. The lines are open now.
Sounds like it.
Yes.
So,
hi,
any virtues out there?
Hello, it's Ishwari.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Uh-huh.
Hi, my name is Ishwari. Hi, Craig.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, what's your heart virtue? We can hear you. What's your heart virtue?
I totally relate to spiritual integrity, but overall, freedom from the inside out.
Got it. Liberation, freedom. Anyone else?
Yes, Greg, Ofer Atia, empowering leadership.
Empowering leadership, beautiful. So you love to see people really be out there and lead, and you love to be behind them, seeing that they're leading incredibly well.
That actually is a leader to empower people.
Oh, love it. Even more clear. Anyone else? What's your heart virtue?
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, go ahead.
My heart virtue is creativity and honoring life force.
Wow.
So I'm into animals and birth and just anything that's being creatively brought forth.
Yeah, I love it. Who else
Thank
was
you.
There?
Anyone else out there?
Kayla is here.
Lydia.
I'm sorry, what your name?
Kayla.
Lydia,
go ahead.
Hi, mine is compassion and freedom.
Oh, yeah.
Compassion and freedom.
Yeah, compassion for others and the freedom to be who we are, to be authentic.
Great. Let's take two more. Who has a burning chair?
This is Bill, and mine is empowering connection.
Oh, nice.
This is Arlene. Mine is uplifting the underdog. It has another piece, but it's not quite resonant with me yet, which is
okay.
Lifting the dog with.
Well, and we're going to be talking to you again, I think, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So, empowering the underdog.
I'm going to
yes.
immune
the line. I
want
to check with you. The workshop on the 15th, 16th, and 17th, that was the workshop you offered us. Do you know at this time where it will be held?
It'll be down in LAX.
LAX. Thank you.
Somewhere in LA.
Greg, we're going to mute the calls, and I'm going to read you some of the questions that came in.
Terrific.
Here we have someone, Kate. She says, I'm constantly taking in information and tend to become engrossed, sidetracked, or pinned in a corner when it comes to making choices of action. How does one go about identifying personal strengths, gifts, and talents? If interests are wide and varied, then actually set a course and stick with it? So.
Got it. So let me just say, if the way you're taking in information is books, then write a book. If the way you're taking information is you love to go to seminars, then put on your own seminar. That's how we shift from the outside-in paradigm to the inside-out paradigm. And for those of you that are overwhelmed with all the different, you know, pieces of information that, you know, we could do it this way and we could do it that way, and, you know, there's the field and there's the power of now and there's the secret, write your own book. If you're drawn to books, if you've read books your whole life, it's time for you to write a book. Because as soon as you put your pen to the paper, you got to ask yourself some very powerful questions. Who is this book for? What is my message to them? What experience do I want them to have? What is it I will not tolerate that people are suffering from? And when you start writing a book, man, all those get scrubbed out. And so I would recommend that if you really want to know who you are and where you stand, start living from the inside out by you write the book, you create the workshop, you put on the teleclass. Whatever your favorite medium is, if you like working one-on-one with people, you be the coach. If that's how you tend to take in information is in one-on-one meetings, then you say, I'm going to be the person that builds my sphere so huge that I'm going to have an influence on every person I meet. Because as soon as you start, and literally, you don't even know what it is first.
Yeah.
You go out and you create it first, and then you find out what it is. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I have another one here from Brenda in Montgomery. Says, I keep attracting men who are dishonest, married and lying about it, or they have hidden addictions. When I see what is going on, I disengage and end the relationship. What is it that I'm learning that the universe keeps giving this to me? So basically, it's... Right, it's what's going on with this? What is she putting out there?
Okay, so she's attracting dishonest men that can't hold the truth. Now, here's my question. This may be counterintuitive. Who would she have to become? What transformation would she go through such that she only attracted men that were honest and sincere and told her the truth right up front? What would it take? What quality would she adopt if she was going to become that person, so that she attracted those kinds of men, right?
Right.
So, for example, I once was doing a coaching call with a couple of clients, and one of them was a man, and he said, you know, I'm really frustrated because my wife's always telling me I weigh too much and I'm too fat. And she was on the line, and I said, let me ask you a question. If you absolutely knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that your husband wasn't going to change at all, who would you have to become in order to accept him in his obesity? And she said, I'd have to just be incredibly forgiving and versatile. I said, here's my promise to you. When you become forgiving and versatile, he'll start to lose weight. And we can feel that intuitively. Now, that's in the romantic relationship where there's that deep spiritual level of commitment. So the answer to her question, how, you know, what's going on with me attracting dishonest men, is, okay, so there's a way that you're being that dishonest men find you, somehow. Now, all I'm interested in is, what is the way you would be being so that only honest men would find you? Who would you have to become? Would it be a powerful woman with high self-esteem? Would it be a woman that is relentlessly honest with men? Would it be a woman that has enough self-confidence that the first moment she found something started turning in the conversation and felt that knot in her stomach when it said, this doesn't seem real, she looks them square in the eyes and says, you know what, you just said this before and now you're saying that and your sentences aren't lining up, and if your sentences aren't lining up, your life isn't lining up, and that's not the kind of relationship I'm going to have, and you get up and walk, is that who you'd have to become? So would it be authentic? Would it be an honest woman? Would it be an empowered woman? Would it be high self-esteem? You figure out who you would have to become in order that dishonest men would run when you enter the room, and the guys that really live in integrity and are upfront would find you, and you're going to understand the whole mystery as to why you attract those men.
That's excellent, Greg. It applies to many things, actually. To many things, this is a good lesson for Brenda.
Right. Any frustration in life, if you ask yourself, who would I have to become in order to overcome this frustration? You volunteer to just act it out a little bit, and you're going to notice that thing that frustrates you starts to go away almost instantly, because the universe only provides all these tests and trials, or whatever you want to call challenges, opportunities, I don't care what you call them, but it's only there to forward our evolution. You know, there's this relentless, I'm doing a thesis on it, it's called, you know, this field of evolity. Every living thing on the planet evolves. Trees get better at being trees, and lizards get better at being lizards, and human beings are yearning to be the best human being they can be, and that's my definition of evolution. When something evolves, it becomes the best it can be. So, you know, the reason we go to a gym is because there's all this resistance at the gym that makes our muscles strong, right? So this, in the same respect, the reason we have all these trials and tests in life is because it strengthens our character. We've got to evolve and become a more virtuous person in almost every one of those situations. So people are trying to solve these problems in life, and I say, screw it, stop trying to solve problems. Become bigger than the problem by figuring out who must I become so that this problem I can conquer no matter who I am or where I am. So that when I step into the room and a dishonest man walks up to me, I can handle him like a martial arts dude handles a guy with a knife. And when you figure out what that skill is and just go take classes to learn that skill, those inauthentic, lying, cheating guys they won't be able to stand next to you. They'll have to move to the other side of the room.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Greg. There was another point here that I know you touched in the conversation, but you call it the source of wealth, connecting what's most meaningful to you with what's most valuable to others. Clearly, you've explained here about that authenticity and owning what you want and what you stand for. Now, how do we turn that around into, well, if this is what my strength is, if this is what I have to give, how do you connect it? How do you connect it so that others can see the value? Use the example of being a coach instead of selling your coaching.
Okay, so I'll give you.
But when it comes to wealth, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. And let's talk a little bit about wealth for a second, and I'm going to make it a very quick, direct conversation. Would you agree that money is all about value?
Yes.
That when we spend money on something, it's because we value what that thing is. And that if we look at something and we don't see the value in it, then we don't buy it. Can you see that value is something that's a very personal thing, and that if I can identify what's most meaningful to me and what's most important to me, then I'm very close to what's most valuable to me, which is what I'm willing to spend money on. So if I really want to make a lot of money, the thing to do is to find out what's most meaningful and what's most valuable to people. Instead of telling them, here's what I do and here's what it is, do you value that? I have a slightly different approach. I don't even tell people what I do. I coach what's valuable out of them, and then if I can't fulfill it, I find somebody else that can fulfill what's valuable out of them. I'll send them a referral. I'll say, wow, you want a great bookkeeper? Take out your pen. You got to call the tax queen, Joan Wilkinson. Taxqueen.com. She's amazing. She'll do your taxes, like she'll handle your books for the week, right? They want a great carpenter? Great. You got to call Bob Montgomery. The guy's unbelievable. And I've got referrals because I basically find out wherever I go, I find out what people love to do and what they most want. Now, so how do we connect what we're doing? It's counterintuitive. We think that I've got to, you know, only meet the people that I want to meet that are part of my business in order to make more money. And to an extent that's true, because niche businesses tend to be the ones that are most successful. But there's another formula that works behind the scenes where I build a field of contribution around me. See, the way I live is I make a contribution everywhere I go, so the universe is struggling to pay me back. I find parking spots where it's just like I'll pull up and a parking spot will appear because the universe is like, man, we owe Greg. We got to do something for this guy. And I'm making a contribution everywhere I go with people I meet. I'm like, so how can I make this person's life more meaningful right now, standing in line at the post office? And if I do that, I build a field around me that attracts prosperity. What most people are doing is thinking, how can I get? And remember what we talked about with prayer. If you pray from what can I get, you're praying from lack, and the answer to your prayer is, here, have some lack. But if you're being, I like to look at it this way. I have a little bucket that hovers over my right shoulder. I call it my prosperity bucket. And every time I do something for somebody else, help them get closer to their goal, something drops into my prosperity bucket. The universe makes a deposit for me. And then when I'm in a position where it's like, you know what, I could really use something to bring my business to the next level, I get to draw on that prosperity bucket. So, you know, like I said, I stumble and bumble through it, and you got to feel it out. You don't want to spread yourself so thin that you're not even working on your business. It's literally, you don't go out and if somebody says, you know, I need a bookkeeper, you don't become their bookkeeper.
Right.
If you're not in the bookkeeping business. You find them a great bookkeeper. That's a 5-minute phone call. So I believe the secret to prosperity is to have relationships with people, conversations and relationships with people where you focus on what's most meaningful. The more meaningful that conversation is, by definition, the more value it is, and the more money is going to come out of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And so instead of asking people things like, what do you do, which is the most common question when we meet someone, I'll give you guys 3 questions to ask people. And if you ask these 3 questions, guarantee you're going to double your income. First question is, what do you really want? Instead of, you know, I'm a painter, and do you want me to paint your house? Drop your agenda and just find out what the person really wants. What is it you really want? Second question, and what is it you don't want? So let's say we got, you know, you did get your house painted. What is it you don't want to have happen? Well, I don't want to, you know, have the budget double. Okay. What's your number one biggest concern? My number one biggest concern is that this paint job is going to be so miserable for my wife, she's going to divorce me. So those 3 questions, what is it you really want? And I want you to hear how I'm asking that question. I'm not just saying, what do you really want? I'm saying, what do you really want? Mm. Can you hear how I'm turning the value? The price tag of what do you really want is $10. The price tag of what do you really want is about $100. And then what is it you don't want? Well, the reason I ask that question is if I'm willing to ask you what you don't want, I'm obviously willing to take responsibility for making sure you don't get it. And the third question, what is your number one biggest concern? For those of you that have studied sales courses, and I was intensely trained in sales when I worked at Intel, there is always an objection, the thing that keeps people from moving forward and creating their dreams. And so, you know, the people that get over their objections are heroic people that end up manifesting their dreams. So I just like to bring people's attention to what their objection is. What's your biggest concern? And then I say something to them like, I'm committed to seeing that you get what you really want. And since I'm not the person that fulfills that, let me find a referral for you. Would you mind if I make a couple of phone calls? I'll get back to you. And what happens is, literally, in that little conversation with that person, if I call them back the next day and say, hey, you know, remember I told you I was going to find somebody that would help you, you know, get your house painted? Well, here's her name. It's Shirley Lee, On Time Painting. They say, really, you made that phone call? And it's like, for no reason? But here's what I know. They remember me. And the next time they have an opportunity to make my life work out, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I've got tens of thousands of people like that all over the world.
Law of reciprocity.
Right. And so, if you know, and it's not just a lot. I've got a field of prosperity that I live in.
I love it. Field of prosperity.
I've created a field of prosperity. And it's a question of, you know, okay, I've only got a dollar. Great, let me spend that dollar prosperously instead of spending it like I'm some kind of victim.
Yes. Well, Greg, we have a couple minutes. We've extended the TELUS seminar another 10, 15 more minutes. But I'd like to, one, let everyone know that if they refresh their the webcast on the TELUS seminar page, they can get access to your video after the call. And also the recording will be available about an hour after this call. We're getting some people's remarks on online here, and they're loving it, so they want to re-listen and share it with others. Can you talk a little bit about your event? Someone mentioned earlier the February event.
Yes. My website, by the way, is lifecamp.com, www.lifecamp.com. And the February event is designed to empower people in the 3 skills that heroes are really good at. The number one skill is acknowledging your boundaries. knowing when to say no. I mean, how many people on the line have said yes when they meant no and then ended up doing something they couldn't believe they did, and then it's just like they put too much effort. It was a drag the whole time because they knew they should have said no from the beginning. We're going to show you how to say no when you feel no, and how to say yes to extraordinary people, and how to find those extraordinary people and create mentoring relationships with them. So you're having projects, and there's basically two simple laws. Never share your dreams with people that don't have the power, desire, and resources to make your dreams come true. And share your dreams every day with one person that has the power, desire, and resources to make your dreams come true. And that's part of acknowledging your boundaries. The second thing that we cover in the workshop is really learning to listen. What would it be like to be able to hear anyone say anything to you without taking it personally? You know, it's like, Greg, you're a jerk. So what I hear you saying is that I'm a jerk. What's that like for you? Say more. Being able to, you know, to field intense conversations or when people are frustrated, and instead of paying too much attention to myself, figuring out what's most meaningful to them that they're trying to communicate and helping them communicate that. And, I do this in rehab. And by the way, the rehab centers that I work at, does anybody know what rehab costs for a month? You take a guess, and then I'll tell you what it is. It's $52,000 a month for rehab. And most people develop addictions because they're not acknowledging their boundaries and asking for what they want. And that's the third skill, to ask for what you want. Powerful questions. And so I cover these three skills, and you know, if you go to rehab, I cover them in the rehab centers that I work in, and that's $52,000. On the website, you'll notice that there's a workshop link for the workshop, and it's $1,795. I'm going to share with you on the line right now a way that you can get that workshop for $1,295. If you click on the picture, if you go to lifecamp.com and you click on the product page, you'll see the workshop at the bottom of the list. It says Life Camp 2-Day Workshop. You click on the picture instead of clicking on the Add to Cart link, and you're going to get the convention discount, which is, you know, this is kind of like this convention that we have here, and you're going to get the workshop for $1,295. We're actually going to ingrain those three skills in you during the workshop in many different ways. We use the same accelerated learning techniques that many of you have experienced in some of the master classes that Harv Eker puts on, and Chris Howard, and some of these other guys that do amazing, and Tony Robbins. And so they're really going to be ingrained, and you're going to walk out with those three skills at the end of the weekend. We'll also focus on your heart virtue. That's going to be the Friday before. So for those of you that have your heart virtue, you show up on Saturday and Sunday. For those of you that don't have your heart virtue, you show up on Friday night, and we're going to identify the heart virtue for all the people that show up so that on Saturday when we start in the morning, everyone's got their heart virtue and we're ready to rock. We're going to start diving into really developing those three skills, because it's crucial to have your heart virtue before you show up. Knowing who you are and where you stand is a prerequisite to acknowledging your boundaries, to really being able to listen. When we don't know who we are and where we stand, it's really hard to listen to other people because we feel threatened by everything they say. And then asking for what you want is born out of what's most meaningful to you and the projects that you want to create. So.
All right. Well, Greg, you and I also invite people to get your book. I started reading it. It's fabulous. I'm applying the principles, and as a coach and trainer myself, I pass it on to the people I affect, and I can't have enough. So bring it on.
So thank you. The book is called Learn Our Heart Virtue. It's available on the website as well. It's $20, and you know, with shipping and handling and all. But I've gotten some. It's really in a good space. The book is gotten a lot of great feedback on it, and it's rich. You know, each page is filled with pretty powerful stuff, and yet it's written so that a three or third grader can understand it.
Well, thank you, Greg. Do you want some closing, some words of wisdom that to keep us on until February?
Yeah, you know, Claudia, I want to thank you and Fabrice. You guys are, you know, the energy that you came to the seminar, how you asked me to be here today, the space that you opened up, the way you and I talked about how we wanted it to be a free format, that we would just follow the energy with it and the questions you ask. You know, when I hear your voice, it's just you're just smiling all the time in my mind. And I really appreciate it. It makes me more powerful. I'm sure the people on the line can hear that in your voice and your conviction and how you're committed to them. And it's so nice to have somebody that's as committed to I am to the success for other people. So I just want to acknowledge you for putting this together, for putting Pure Momentum together. And I can tell you I'm going to be a part of your community for a long time.
Well, Greg, thank you very much. And in honor of this, I feel you from my heart, and I want to share this with the community. We are launching Peer Makeovers. You said something very powerful to me a minute ago, is help someone get closer to their goal. And Peer Makeovers is going to launch within 24 hours. My husband's laughing. I have created a forum for that, but what we want to do is invite people in the community who are just stuck and could use some of the mastermind of this entire community to help them with the resources they've accumulated along the way, to help each other, to facilitate resources, tools, how-to, experience, to achieve their goal. And with the tools that you share with us and all of our other mentors, it's like get into action, because I think that the power will come into when you decide you're ready, when you own it, when you can step up and say, yes, this is who I am and this is what I stand for. I speak from heart, and I thank you. I want to also invite the others for our upcoming teleseminars on Wednesday, multi-level marketing. We're having an event on Saturday. If you have events that you want to promote to the community, send them to us. We're here to support you 110%. And again, Greg, I thank you. This field of prosperity, I own it. I live it. I invite everybody to step up.
And for those on the call, I want you to notice that what Claudia is doing here, she's providing an opportunity for you to build your sphere by joining the community and letting people know what's most meaningful to you and saying, damn it, I'm not going to live a small life anymore. I'm going to get my message out there. So join and go. This is how I got my message out there. Is, you know, drag that boat down to the beach, because when it hits the water, man, you're going to be floating and you're going to love your life.
I love my life! Thank you, Greg. You rock. I'm so delighted, and I thank you, and my two kids thank you. They run to school and say, I love my life, and, you know, you had a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again online or in person. Thank you, Greg.
Take care. Have a great day, Claudia.
Bye-bye.
Bye.